Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing, you may recall, the Machlokes Bavli Nirshami, that Tosos claims that the at the end of Dira Maslov al Ishas Aviv, about whether you can be Mochel Knas or not. So he pointed out that this quite possibly, and, you know, he quoted sugyas, basically, like, at the beginning of this parak, we're going to have to just, I guess, have a little sabla note here and there, because a lot of things we're going to see are going to be discussed again in sugyas later, and we'll get to see all the makoros more in depth. So here, for example, he quoted the sugyas in Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, as well as a few other sugyas. And we said this might have to do with a very, very fundamental hakira. I think we started putting this on the board, we'll put a lot of it on the board, about the nature of the Mechayev of Kas. The Mechayev of Kas. And we pointed out that there are two ways to understand the difference in Knas and Mamon. Mamon, which is when you just pay for the damages that you caused, right? The Mechayev Mamon is the Maisa. You might have to prove it in court if you want it to be enforced, but the Mechayev is the Maisa. That's clear. In Knas, we find some differences between Knas and Mamon. Number one, Knas, Asher Yashion Elohim, Prat Mashias Atzmo, right? That's the main difference. You need to be convicted, Al Pi Eidim in Bezdin, and not based on your own Hodah. Mode of a Knas Potter. Okay? So I'll learn this about what that means. We will, maybe get back to that if we have an occasion. So the question is, what does that imply? And we have two basic drachim. One is that the Machayev is the Maisa. However, even though the Machayev is the Maisa, there is a special rule that if you're Moda, then you're Potter, you can, the fellow has to take you to Bezdin in order to collect. So Maisa, but there's a special rule that, I don't want to get myself into machlokas, it's so sinusivus here, about the nature of mode knas potter, that mode is potter, and therefore, you need bezdin to implement this, this iser. Special that mode is potter, but you need bezdin to, in order to collect Lamaisa. Why? Perhaps because otherwise, then it's just Modu Knas and he's Potter. The other fundamental way of learning Knas is that no, the Maisa is not Machayev you a Knas. The Maisa only Machayev you to make up for what you did. A Knas is a punishment. You're not Machayev a punishment just for doing the Maisa. Bezdin creates the Chiyuv Knas. Right? So the Bezdin creates the Chiyuv Knas. Until then, there's no Chiyuv Knas. It is a Dabar Shalom Bali Olam.
So what did the Maisa do then?
What?
The Maisa gave him a right to be Kobe.
The Maisa is the background. Right. The Maisa is the background. Is the background. I mean, maybe we'll... you know the Rav Chanan.
The Rav Chanan, the first side, though.
Right. But so let's come back to that. What did the Maisa do? Well, we mentioned Rav Chanan. But...
According to this side,
maybe the Bezdin creates the, let's leave it that way for a second, the class. We mentioned some nafkaminas. What are some nafkaminas? I'm trying to remember what we had on the board last time. Let's see. We started with our issue, which is,
we started with the knockout slaves I didn't do.
Right, so one is, maybe it won't be the same order, is Mechila before Hamad of Adin, which is the discussion in our Tosos, right? So if you say you're really chayiv all along, there are just conditions out as to how to collect it practically, but you're really chayiv, then of course she can be Mochel, right? And this is Bavli, Lefi Tosos, and most Rishonim, right? That Mechila works. Right? And we pointed out that that not everyone agree, that Tosa says, Bavli says Mechila works, Yerushalmi says Mechila doesn't work, because we have right here, Yesha da Mochel, Beboshe Begam had Masnisa, Rabbani Amar, Padman Akol, Rabbi Avin Amar, Shami by Mamun, Padman Akol, Fata Padman Aboshe Begam, Vechaya Viknas. This is Rabbi Avin in the Ushalmi. In the Ushalmi says that there is no Mechila. Why is there no Mechila? Because Dabar Shel Bavli doesn't even exist until Hamad Medin, so there's nothing to be mochel. So even though she agreed to the Bia, you can't say she was mochel anything that didn't exist yet. We pointed out that Bain and the Bavli, Bain and the Ushalmi, it is not so Pashat, and the Ushalmi, it's a machlokas here, whether it works or not. Rabbi Ovin says that Shammai says that Chayiv B'Knas, but Rabbi Mana says Mefata Patrakol. So this is Rabbi Mana in the Ushalmi. And even in the Bavli, if you look at the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, they point out, and the Ramban discusses it at great length a few places, that Rabbi Shmuel Hanogid at least, and a couple of other Gaonim in the Bavli and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that we'll get to, says that even in the Bavli, maybe Mechila doesn't work because it's Dabar Shel Bavli. So we're not sure what the Bavli says. We're not sure what the Ushalmi says. The Bavli clearly is a mainstream pshat that Mechila works, with a minority pshat that Mechila doesn't. The Ushalmi seems to be even Machlokes, and even Machlokes Amoraim, and this seems to be totally in this Chakira, and we pointed out that this Chakira is Mefurish in the Ushalmi. Here, they mention one side of the Chakira, which is the tzad of Mishar Rishona, and in the Yerushalmi, the beginning of the second paragraph, it's a mafurish machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yona. Rabbi Yona Amar Mishar Rishona, Rabbi Yossi Amar Basof. So this is Rabbi Yossi saying Basof, and Rabbi Yona saying Mishaa Rishona. Seems to be that this Briskur Chakira is exactly in the Yerushalmi. Now, we mentioned some other nafkaminas as well. One nafkamina we mentioned was maybe the shas chalos of the shechur of the eved. Right? When does the eved go free in the case of shein ba'ayin nafkamina? What, right? If I knock out shein and his ayin, did he go free right away and I have to pay or not? And here we have a machlokes, right? We mentioned the Rashba on the Korah sheet in Bava Kama Ayin Dalet Amud Beis is very clear, getting a little less clear, but here the Rashba, certainly in Bava Kama, says, Nishas Maisa, and therefore if I knock out his tooth and eye, but he goes through the first one, I have to pay for the second one. Well, he quoted a Yesh Omrim in the Rashba. This is also the sheet of Tosos in Bava Kama, Aflam and Gimel, who say only Mishas Hamad Din. There's a whole discussion we're not going to get into now. Is there a difference in the Knas of Shein Ba'ayin and all other Knasos? And there's also the Machlokes, there's a difference in the Knas of Chatzin Nezek and other Knasos, which we're not going to get into now, but at least as far as the general rule goes, the Rashba and Bava Kama says, no, the Knas is Mishar Rishona. Oh, we'll see in the beginning of the fourth parak. If the father dies before Hamad al-Din, then his kids don't inherit the Knas. He says, that's different, that's special. The Knas of a girl maybe can't be transferred, but the general rule of a Knas of yourself is Mishar Rishona. That's the Rashba, as opposed to the Yeshomer in the Rashba, says no. That's not Mishar Rishona, it's only from Hamad al-Din. In what case do you have to set him free for his tooth and pay for his eye? If you knock out his tooth, then there's Hamad al-Din, and then you knock out his eye, because he's not free until Hamad al-Din.
Is it significant that the first answer to Rashba says, but it has to be that Hamad al-Din and then Hamad Freya? Is that significant, or did he have to say that? Could you say, why did you say it like
okay,
that?
Okay, good question, so hold that thought for a second. Another place where this came up, and this is a very, very explicit discussion, is, what about tfisa? Right? Can I, let's say there's no hamada b'din, can I grab it anyway? And this was a fundamental machlokes, because we saw that the Gemara had here at the end of our perek, and also at the end of the first perek of Mota Kama, that in the case of chatzi nezek, right, if your animal, not shame over rekel, right, but carrot, your animal purposely damages my property or my animal, etc. So it's chayiv chatzi nezek, we pass against a knas, and you can't be goven because my nezek, so we don't have a proper bezdin. But the Gemara says, if you're toll face, that works. The question is, what's the nature of this tfisa by knas? And here we had a fundamental machlokas Rishonin. The Rush took a very clear position. The Rush says tfisa works, and he's explicit in his formulation. Why? It's a very lumdish formulation. And the Rush says, the Rush in Bava Kamma, which is the main source of the Rishonin that discusses this issue, he says, I think I read you the line, but I'll read it again. He says, if I can find it,
four lines from the bottom.
Okay, thank you. I don't have the same rush that you do necessarily. Here we are. Midoraisa mechayev lei elish ein lo dain bababel sheyikufenu liten lo. He's chayev midoraisa without having the b'din. We just don't have the kind of dayan that can implement it, that can force you to pay your chiyuv, because you need a bezin of smuchin to force someone to pay the knas. But he's chayiv midoraisa a modu knas potter. Well, if he'd be moda, that would be a different story. But since he wasn't moda, and the Rosh adds, you can never be moda nowadays, since we don't have a bezin of smuchin, there's no such thing as hoda anymore. So therefore, some people, you could say the opposite. Oh, we don't have a real bezin nowadays, there's no such thing as knas. He says, no, you're always chayiv knas until you're molded of the bezdin. Since there's no bezdin, you can't get out of the knas in your chayiv. This is very clear. Mida oraisa mechayiv ella she'ein lanu dayan she'yikofenu liten. Right, we have a technical problem in the implementation nowadays. What is the technical problem? A, we don't have the right kind of dayan to judge this. B, when we did have the right kind of dayan to judge this, there was an escape hatch. You could have been modeh, but fundamentally you're chayav, and therefore if the guy grabs it, then good for him, and he can keep it. And that's what the Gemara is saying. But he quoted, there were those who disagreed with him. For example, the Yad Rama says that no, you of course you can't grab a knas. It's only to cut a drabon and chatzi nezek, because they felt bad for the guy who was damaged to not get even chatzi nezek. But the knas, onus of mafate, and kefil, and dal behei, and etc., they would not let you grab. So he says, so, and Rabbi Tam seems to say similar. They say that no, this is a generally tfisa, doesn't work, but, you know, there's one exception. What is the exception? The Yad Rama has a broader exception than Rabbi Tam. Yad Rama says, we draw bon and they let anyone talk with chatzi nezek, because they felt it was a nice tikkun olam. Rabbi Tam says, no, you can't toe-face any chatzi nezek. You can only toe-face the animal that did the damage. You can only toe-face the actual animal that did the damage, okay? That machlokas will be for Bava Kamma. But clearly they say the general rules, you can't be toe-face knas. That's a special exception that we saw at the end of our perek and at the end of the first perek of Bava Kamma. Don't make a big deal of it. Rashi seems to, sounds like...
The reason why would be because of nowadays in the basement.
Right, correct. Although you can't say the same thing in those days, maybe even when there was a bezdin, you could be toe-faced. It just wasn't so halacha l'maisa, because you might as well just go to bezdin. Rashi disagreed with the Bein of Tam, but we're not sure if he holds like the Yad Rama or the Rush. He says, no, you could be toe-faced any object for chatzi nezek, not just the animal itself. You could be toe-faced the guy's wallet also. But we're not sure if he thinks only for chatzi nezek as an exception, or like the Rush, all over. So this is a little unclear. We're not sure where to put Rashi. He's definitely not Bein of Tam. Because Rabbi Tam says you can only be toe-faced the animal, and Rashi says you can be toe-faced anything, but we don't know if that's the general rule of knas, or like the Yad Rama, if that's a specific rule of chatzi nezek. There's also machlokas Rambam and Raivid, one place on the Makor sheet, and one place I mentioned about that, but I left out of the Makor sheet. The Rambam says in two places, A, he says, the minig of the yeshivas is that whoever's toe-faced knas and everything can keep it, and that was very general, sounded like the Rush. And B, when it comes to us, Safi Kingfell says if you grab it, you can keep it. Even Suffolk, sure, Badai. And the Raivid objects, forget about Suffolk, he says. how can you be tofes, kefil, and keep it? You can't take any kefil, any knas that hamad b'din, without pesach din, and have you pesach din it. There's a suffix. So the Raivid seems like the, he says you need hamad b'din, there's no tfisa. You know, obviously you have to say that there's an exception in some limited cases, but the general rule is that there's no tfisa. And the Rambam would hold like a rush that tfisa does work. So Rav Elchanan has a possibility, the one I put in brackets on sheet 2, that maybe really the Rush and the Rambam think you're only chayim on hamad b'din. They just think avadin is dila nashe, you could be your own diet and it counts as hamad b'din of a bez din of smicha. Okay, that's a little bit radical to say that your mamish counts as a bez din when you grab. The simple shot is what the Rush says, that you're chayim without hamad b'din. Technically, you need certain kind of dayanim in order to implement this, but he owes you the money, so our courts are not empowered to judge these cases. But he owes it to you, so if you grab it, then great, then you've taken your own money. That's the Pashup Shot on the Rush and the Rambam. The other machlokas, which is a big inyan, which we can get back to, comes up later in our parak in Aflam Ches, and the beginning of the next parak in Aflam Elf, and Bez, the big sugya, which we're not going to go through all the details. I just put the Rashi here because he was the simplest. On Daphne Bez or something, see, it's the simplest mukkar, is the question of Yerusha. Now, Yerusha, forget about Onus U'mafata. Onus U'mafata is very complicated, the subject of Yerusha, for the following reason. That if the father dies, can the other relatives Yarshin? Is not clear, because the father is not really the victim anyway. So, it's a simple shouting word is that if the father dies, his relatives cannot inherit the knas from his daughter, but that's because it's not really the father's in the first place. While the daughter was alive, so the father stood for her. Once the father's dead, so it's hard to say we'll inherit from the father because it wasn't really his. So forget that. That's going to be a whole sugya we'll deal with. Let's look at regular knas. Kefel and Dalet Vehei and Shloshim Shel Eved and, you know, normal cases of knas. If the fellow dies, can his kids collect the knas? So after Hamad B'din, for sure. If you stole Reuven's ox and shechted it, and he took you to Din, and there's a psak, you own 5 oxes, and he dies, his kids can collect it. The question is, what about Yerusha before Hamad B'din? What if he died before Hamad B'din? So, Yerusha, right, before Hamad B'din. So this would seem to be totally on this Chakira. If you said, Mishas Mais is really Chayav, there are rules for how you have to collect it, and how you have to prove it, and there's a difference between Hodah and Pshat of Dayanim. But he owes you the money. So, everyone knows if someone owes Reuven money, Reuven dies, his kids inherit the right to collect the debt. If you owe someone money and he dies, then you owe his kids money. Pasha, they should be Yerusha. But if you say he doesn't exist before Hamad B'din, then you can say, what do you mean? He doesn't owe, you don't owe him anything until Hamad B'din. What happens is, you could end up owing him something if he sues you and the Bezdin declares it. But what does he have? You don't owe him money. There's just a potential in the future that you might owe him money. A potential in the future to owe someone money maybe is not a financial object that can be inherited. If he takes you to Din, you owe him money. But if a stranger takes you to Din, why do you owe him money? And his kid's going to come and say, you stole my father's ox and shechted it? Well, where... If you're a chai mishas maisa, you owed him. Hey, mishas maisa. Kids can say, look, you owed our father, he died, now you owed us. But if you didn't owe him anything until Hamad B'din, you didn't owe the father anything. What are the kids going to say? They're going to say, we inherited the right to go to Bezdin. Not so part of it. What do you inherit the right to go to Bezdin? That's not something you can inherit. That's not mo. That's not a zuchusm. That's not an object, a zuchusm, a concrete, or even an abstract, mummous object. So Pashas, this seems to be a big machlokus. Why? There's a stira between the sugyas. All of the Rishonim are stuck the same stira between the sugyas. In Baba Kama, in Dalit, it seems very clear you can inherit Knas. In Ksubos Membez, it's very clear you can't inherit Knas. So, says the Rashba, it's a machlokus Amoraim, in the Amoraim, who we're talking Baba Kama, in the Amoraim, we're talking in Ksubos. Tosos in both Ksubos. And in Baba Kama has 3 opinions. you can guess what the three opinions are. One is that it's a machlokes asugis, machlokes amaran. The other is that you reinterpret the Gemara in Bava Kamma without getting into details yet. And they really both agree you can't inherit. The other is you reinterpret the Gemara in Ksuvas, and both sugis agree you can inherit. Basically, all the possibilities are right there in Tosfos. The Stam Tosfos says, like the Rashi machlokes asugis. The Re says that everyone agrees you cannot inherit it. And the Re Halavan, not the favorite, different Re, says everyone agrees that you can inherit it. So let's just point this out. Here we have the Rashba says, I wrote down who the Amoraim were. The Rashba says the Rashba and Deya Echad. The Tosos says this is the Shita of Rava and Rav Nachman in Bava Kamma. And the Rashba and the first Deya in Tosos says this is the Shita of Rabba in Ksubos Teradalit. It's a machlokas Amoraim. Okay, what are they arguing about? I know there are other ways to analyze it, and when we get to Avraham Ches, we'll see two other ways to analyze it, one of which is exceedingly interesting. Probably both. One is even more exceedingly interesting. But the other Bali Tosos, the Re says, no, you misunderstood. Says the Re, that Kuli Alma holds what? Holds that there is no Yerusha. While here, the some Amoraim, according to the Rashi, the first day in Tosos, and the Re Halavan says Kuli Alma holds that there is Yerusha. L'chora, what are they arguing about on the simplest level? They're arguing that it's Hakir. If you already owe the money, there's Yerusha. If you don't owe the money yet, Bezdin can create the Chiyuv if you go to Bezdin. If you're gone, then it's too late. Bezdin can't create the Chiyuv. That is the Pashur Pshat of this Machlokas. This also comes up in a famous Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilgamesh Hashas and Makos, that the Gemara actually seems to discuss this question. The Gemara says that, let's hold a cup in this Makos. What if, fascinating question, what if Edom come and say that you, well, let's start with the question of Mammon, right? Not a Knas, Mammon that you actually owe, like you borrowed money from someone, right? Or you broke their vase yourself, and you owe them Mammon. So let's say you broke someone's vase on Sunday. You borrowed money on Sunday, and on Monday they didn't come and say you borrowed the money, but they didn't really see it. They're lying. So the answer is they're not chayiv, because even though it was not nice of them to lie, they didn't really try to zamam lasvus la'achet, try to do anything bad to their false testimony. Because even though they lied, they didn't see it. They were testifying the truth. You really owe the money. So the Gemara says that's in terms of mammon, but in terms of knas, it's different. In terms of knas, if you stole something on Sunday, then they came on Monday and testified they stole the Chayv Keto, but they didn't really see it, they were lying, then they are Edom's Omen. Why? Because you weren't Chayv yet. Right? In Mammon, when they testify as to something that's true but they didn't see, then they have an excuse, they get off the hook. But in Knas, if they testify something true they didn't see, then they don't get off the hook. They're chayav to pay as Edom Zomen, because what it says in Mammon, you're already chayav. In Knas, you're not already chayav. So that's what the Gemara says. In Mammon, you're already chayav. In Knas, you're not already chayav. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, that's exactly talking about one side of our chakira. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a mafurish Gemara in Makos that takes one side of this chakira. Which side of this chakira? Obviously, just using another color because we're a little out of time. The question of Hazama, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the reason they are chayav as Edom Zomen, let's remember the case. You really did it, but they're lying about having seen it. So they're chayav, right? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, why? The reason is because you're not chayav anything because there is no hamad b'din. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, this is the mafurish Gemara in Makos, like one side of the Sechakira. The Gemara in Makos says, what does the Gemara in Makos say? that if they testify that you're chayiv knas, and you really did it, but they didn't see it, they're considered imzomen. They're considered to have been accusing an innocent person. Why are you an innocent person? Because even though you did it, until hamad b'din, you're not chayiv anything. So I am not chayiv anything until hamad b'din. I might have the background to be chayiv something, I'm not chayiv anything until hamad b'din, and they want to make me pay money, so they're making me pay money, then I'm not chayiv. That is what Rabbi Akiva Eiger says in it's a very famous Gemara Hashas in the beginning of Makos. He says, the knas, the lakush, the milsa, ain't no mutal lo b'shali, the kol zman shelo chivu bezdin, ain't no mechoy of klal. Right? He is not, you're considered, he's not an innocent person morally, but he's a legally innocent person. Because until Bezdin paskins, he doesn't know anything. So you're trying to make him money, pay money that he does not owe.
In case of Makos, how do we know they did it? Because he's moved there?
How do we know? No. Because, let's say, Adam come later on, before we get to finally paskins what happened and say that he really did it. Right? And those Adam are honest.
What's the day that the chief in the mother of the din, it seems that the chief, it's not the mafreya, it doesn't go back to Shas.
Right.
It's the chief starts this.
It's created by a mother of the din from thin air.
It's not the mafreya.
Right.
It's not that the mother of the din is like a view or my.
Correct. Although we'll get back to that in a moment. What are you going to do if you take the other side of the chakira, right? The rush thinks that you really were chayav all along. Yeah, we couldn't enforce it, right? Meaning, according to, according to the Ri, and according to Rabbi Oven, and the Yerushalmi, and according to Tosfos Bava Kamma, this Gemara works, Rabbi Akiva Eiger works out great. He says, you really stole, but you're not chayav kefil at all until Amad Abedin. Just as you stole, you're not chayav kefil, that's background. You're chayav kefil and Amad Abedin. So if these guys try to make you pay kefil before Amad Abedin, they're trying to make you pay something you didn't deserve to pay, and therefore the Edom Zomen. What are you going to say if you're the Rush? Really, you were Chayiv Kefil the whole time. He could have grabbed it from you. You were Chayiv Kefil the whole time. So what's so bad about the Edom Zomen who tried to make you Mechayiv something that you really Chayiv anyway? So the Chor, what you have to say is what Tosos says in Makos. Says Tosos in Makos, he gives a more technical explanation. He says he's talking about ages of fashion. He compares it to Knas. The Be'inan. One second. Here we are. Mishumdi. Have a Shema lo yavo Edim. Vim yavo Edim lo yehe Edusan Kayam. And he will mode umiftar. Meaning, according to Tosos, he's not as. Maybe we should go with Rashi, would be even better. One second. Yeah, Shamoda Bo Potter. Says Rashi. He says very Pashat, says Rashi. And Tosos seems to accept this, although he really deals more with the Nefashos. Says Rashi and Tosos that reason they are Edom Zomimin is because he could have been moda and become potter. Meaning, even if he's chayav already, he could have had the opportunity to potter himself, and by taking away this opportunity to potter himself, they're still considered Edom Zomen. So Akiva Eiger doesn't like this. Like, why are you bringing in all these irrelevant factors? Why not just say, because he's not chayav yet? So, not clear, but maybe, I mean, l'shitase, it is not necessarily terrific. We'll get to back to this in a second. Maybe Rashi and Tosos, we'll see, is not so pashut, but maybe it's totally in this machlokas. If you say he was chayav all along, then what's wrong with these guys who testified about him? He was chayav anyway. The answer is he was chayav all along, but he had a way out, and they took away his way out, and that was unfair. According to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's very pashut. What's wrong with these guys who testified against him? He wasn't chayav anything yet. If he wasn't chayav anything yet, then they're just testifying about not a morally innocent man, but a legally, a financially even better innocent man. Now it could very well be, and this is what some of the fellows were suggesting, and we saw in that Rav Chanan, that one could distinguish. There could be that it doesn't have to be black and white, either Rishona or Basoft, and there are two possible ways to distinguish. One of them I'm more certain what it means. If you look at the possibilities, here we have one possibility is Mishar Rishona, as the Yerushalmi says very stark. The second possibility is Basof. Rabbi Elchanan suggests, and it's based on a Rambam in the Perish Mishnayis in Shvius, Rabbi Elchanan suggests it depends how you look at it. He says, and he wants to say this is the Manda Omer Basof. He says the Manda Basof doesn't mean purely Basof. He says it depends whose perspective you're looking at it from. Are you looking at it from the perspective of the recipient, does he have the right to collect the money? Or the criminal, is he chayav to be punished and lose the money? He says no. The criminal is chayav to lose the money right away. And Rabbi Akiva Eger is wrong. When it comes to the chayav of the criminal, kasher zamam, are you unjustly accusing an innocent man or unjustly accusing a guilty man? Inaccurately accusing a guilty man. No, the criminal is chayiv right away. Once he did the action, he is now chayiv to be niknas, to be fined. But just because he's chayiv to be fined doesn't mean that the other guy deserves the money. Why does the other guy deserve the money? It's not money that he lost. It's just a fine. It's a penalty. So basically, he's chayiv to be penalized right away because he's a bad person and he deserves this onish. But an onish is not the same, right? For example, right, if I curse you, with Shem Hashem, so I get Malkus. I deserve an onesh for cursing you. For Minanam Lechavir, I deserve an onesh. But you don't. I don't owe you anything. I deserve to be chastised. But I don't owe you anything. You have no right to have me punished, to have me lashed. It's just what I deserve in my own din v'cheshvan. Or not my own din v'cheshvan, in Bezdin. So that's what Rochanan says. Rochanan says maybe a little in between. Says Rochanan, in the Kovach Urim, he says that the criminal, the nidon, is chaya to be punished mishas maisa. Right away, he deserves to be punished. However, why do you have a right to the money? What gives you the right to the money? He deserves to be punished. What gives you the right to the money? I steal your, not a cow, let's make it simple. I steal your computer. So I have to pay kefil. So as soon as I steal your computer, I should be punished with kefil. But why do you own that? Maybe I should give it to tzedakah. Maybe I should, who knows, maybe they should just take it away from me and burn it and take the money and flush it down the toilet, who knows. So at hamad b'din, basof, that money becomes your property. Even if they haven't actually given it to you, now I owe you that money. So the nidon is chayav the punishment mishas maisa, but the debt to the baldin, to his baldin, to his litigant, is only created mishas hamadav din. So he says it's going to depend on how we're looking at it. If we're looking at the guilt or innocence of the perpetrator, mishas maisa, he's guilty. But if we're looking at the rights of the other fellow, he only acquires that rights in hamadav din.
The whole concept of kefil as a knas, they're intertwined. It's not something logically we know about. There's kefil, now we need something to tell us who you give it to. Kefil is defined in the Torah as giving kefil to the baal din.
Correct.
How do you divide
it in two? That, because really, there's two things going on here. Unlike mamon, mamon means keren. If I steal your computer, I owe you the money, you have the natural right to that. Kefil means punishment. It's to give me a punch in the face so I learn my lesson not to do it again. Right? So there's really two things in kefil. Number one, and I'll prove you this, how do you prove there's two different aspects? If you could have imagined one without the other. Could you have imagined a court system where if someone stole, they just had to pay the fine to the government of kefil? Yeah, that would not be an unreasonable thing to imagine. So that's the point. I mean, the guy is chayiv to be punched in the face to learn his lesson right away. But why do you have the right to that? You only have the right to that because in the judicial proceedings, the Bezdin assigned that to you and turned it into a debt.
Well, The Torah says Chetel in the Torah is a fine to the Baldean.
Yeah, that's what the Torah says. It's not
something we made up that it's a punishment right now. The Torah
okay.
doesn't tell us
who
to give it.
I'll tell you, his makor is, do I have the Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, I think I brought it, is a Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos. Not that this is necessarily going to convince anyone. The Rambam says that onus umafata de no shmitas ksachim before Hamada B'din. Why, he says? Because enek sharchovas of alhim chiyuvin she'esh is chayim behem. They're not like this. They're chiyuvin that the person is chayim behem. So that's what Ruchana wants to base himself on. Until Hamada B'din, the guy has a chiyuv on him, but he doesn't owe it to you. The guy deserves to be punished, but you don't deserve the money until Hamada B'din. Okay, it's a chiddush, this Ruchan, even with this Rama, but that's what he says.
Maybe it's something, not exactly, but maybe it's something like escrow. In other words, but because there are two sides, he has to do what he has to do, but maybe Bezalel decided he doesn't get it for some reason.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they won't, Lamaisa. But I hear the Taina.
Two points, first of all, in terms of this discussion, I think it's between the Gaza and the Gada, meaning every bank, the Gaza and the Gada.
But even with the Gadif, it's a difference between the Karen and the Kefil.
No, I agree. Like, what is that? Meaning, even when they got to be Mechayiv, is it like a Gazlan just plus Kefil?
Correct. And if you think about it, why? The Gadif did something worse to you than the Gazlan did that you deserve to be compensated more? No. The Gadif did something worse in terms of his own Midos than the Gazlan did. Which is why, at least that's the pshat of the Gemara in Merubo or whatever pshat the philosophers give. Whatever pshat the philosophers give, the Ganef doesn't pay you more than the Goslin because you need more compensation. But because he needs to learn a stronger lesson. And that's, Baruch Hanna says, maybe that's until Hamad Abedin. And Hamad Abedin, once they paskin, the way to learn lessons is to give the money, and who else to give the money to? Mastama, that guy. Then all of a sudden the guy acquires a right to it. So it's an excellent question. Tosos Lashon and Makos is, I've actually seen this in some of the Maimonides Achronim, that really Tosos means the same as Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He just said in a more roundabout way.
Yeah,
correct. When he's talking, that's talking about Nefashos.
You're copying on the Nefashos part.
Correct. Okay, so you're right, meaning Yesh Lodon Harbe, when we learn Makos, it's far from Pashut. I will even put a little question mark here. Because you're right, it is very far from Pashut.
Where's the Rambam you said very far from?
Perish Mishnayis at the end of Shvius. Okay, another possibility, which is you have to really think about whether it makes sense or not, but God doesn't want to suggest, Mishnayis based on the Lashon of the Rosh and Bava Kama, is that maybe you have something a little more in between. The Rosh says, you're Chayim Mishas Maisa. How to collect it is complicated. While the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, no, he was only created. B'shas Gmar Din, there's no Chiyuv before Shas Gmar Din. Maybe you could say something in between. The Chiyuv is created by Beis Din. There is no Chiyuv until you go to Beis Din. But once you go to Beis Din, the Chiyuv is lo mafreya mishas maisa. Maybe that's even what the Rashi means above a comma. It's not so clear. That's certainly used a lashon like that. Chiyuv lo mafreya. So maybe you could say, you have to see whether this is really good shot, but maybe you could say the Chiyuv is created by Beis Din, but it's created Lamafreya Mishas Maisa, meaning you'd be like the Rashba here, but like the Yad Ramah and the Raivid over there. You can't do Tfisa without Beis Din, because it's created by Beis Din. But once it is the Beis Din, it's the Goloi Milsa Lamafreya.
Right, and the Rashba was right there to the Rosh. Then the Rosh
would have then the Rashba wouldn't be the same as the Rosh. Okay, Yesh Ladun. Anyway, there's clearly a lot more to discuss here, but we'll leave it at this
rate. Deal with the Stira and the Rambam by Tfisa. The Rambam held that Tfisa...
The Rambam held Tfisa works across the board.
Tfisa works across the board, and yet the Rambam, like Rafaim pointed out, but the Rambam did hold that the evaluation of what the knas is the shas hamad b'din. So there is some chiyuv before.
Mm-hmm. That is a great question. Okay, so you're going to have to give in on one or the other side here. Either say it's really not shas maisa, just other than jil nafshe means really not bez.
Unless you change Rav Chanan a little. And say that the
the chiyuv with this mishas meister, but the oh, I don't know, maybe you call it, but my chavruta called it escrow and so on.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky, or maybe that's not hitshot and carriage came shagunav k called al hitshot hamad b'din. That's also a possibility. So we have to get into that sugi, which we're not going to be able to nail. Ah, so that's what's fascinating. So Rachanan has that happen. I mean, he says, look. Maybe you should be chayiv lotzi sidei shemayim even when there's no eidim. And he says no, and he gives up maybe a bit of a dachik answer. Not only that, he says, why should Modu cast me potter? He goes, just say that's a reward. But he wants to say the dachiv lotzi sidei shemayim because dafka, the chi of your nenash, is for bezdin to take away your money, not for you to volunteer money. Because volunteering money is not really a patch in the face. That makes you feel good. Someone taking away your money makes you feel bad, and therefore the tsur of the onus of bezin to take it away. Okay, that's maybe one of the more subtle points of Rav Chanan. So just to be clear as to what I mean by some of these in between possibilities, according to Rav Chanan, what Rav Chanan is basically saying is that nafka mina 5 is mishar rishona. Ah, when am I a guilty person in court? Mishar rishona. But when does the other guy have the right to it? Nafkamina 1. Can the other guy be mochel? Nafkamina 2. Does the other guy have the right to collect nezek? Can the other guy be tofes? And can the other guy be morish? Is vasof. What we're saying perhaps in the Rashba here, based on the Diyuk Lashon in the Rashba, is that you need bezdin, meaning nafkamina, fisa. You can't do anything without Bezdin. Without Bezdin, you can't do anything. Nafkamina 3, you would say, Basof. Without Bezdin, you can't do anything. But in terms of, once Bezdin speaks, when do we go back? We say, Mi Sha'a Rishona here, Lachora, you would make some of these other Nafkaminas, Yesh Lodun, Yesh Lodun, Harbe, okay, with some of the other nafkaminas, yeshlod and harbe, if there's in fact a good possibility. Okay, this is the basic lay of the land in terms of knas. To really get into this, you'd have to do each of these sugyas in and of itself, one or two of which we will come back to, and some of which we will have to leave for other mesechtas, and keri kein shagana, kevel dal hikshas amad v'din, we're bechlam not going to answer now, because that's much too complicated. But whatever, there's an interesting gemara in Baba Kama. Says, what if you steal something and the price changes? Right, let's say I stole... What's the case? Let's say I stole the case that I think everyone agrees. Well, it might not be case older, Sean, I agree. I stole a cow from you and it was worth $100 and the markets went down and by the time I was brought to din, it was worth $80. So the karen I pay 100, but the kefel is 80 or the dollar of hay is multiples of 80. There's a big machlokes for Shonim. Why? One of them shot him is, the Karen is getting shagana because you're chayiv for the Gneva. The Keva is the Alehei Shadas Amad Abedin because the Machayiv is the Amad Abedin, not the Gneva. And that would make work very well according to the Basov side of this Chakira. However, there are many other ways to be shown to interpret that as well, so we needn't worry, and it's too complicated of a sugi to do if we're not holding in it.
This
thing is very posh. I'm just rushing Prakim of Shas. I had a Rebbe once when he taught Eilon Naira spent about half the year on this Shakira and got into all the sugars properly, but we won't do that now. Not everyone is quite so rough, goofy. The last thing I want to discuss is just to get back to our starting point. Our starting point was Mechila, right? What did we say? We said we had this Shakira. If the Mechayiv of Knas is Levasov, then you should not be able to be Mochalit. If the Mechayiv of Knas is Mishar Rishona, then you should be able to be Mochalit. Lemaisa, all the Rishonim agree that you can be Mochel Knas. That's Pshat in the Bavli in a few sugyas. We'll come back, we'll see each of those sugyas. Pshat in the Bavli in three sugyas that you can be Mochel Knas. All the Rishonim in the Bavli say you can be Mochel Knas. Rav Shmuel HaNagid has a different Pshat in the Bavli base. But none of the Rishonim, I'm sure there's some obscure, none of the Rishonim that I'm familiar with agree with Rav Shmuel HaNagid. The main chief shot is that you can be mochel knas. So, let's just chazer exactly why. The mainstream and the pashut pshat in the Bavli is that the mefuta can be mokel her knas. Right? Therefore, if she's a mefuta who has a father, then of course there's no mechila because that hurts to be mokel. But if it's a mefuta yisoma who doesn't have a father, then she can be mochel, her knas, or whatever scenario, Ms. Arson, Ms. Darshan, the Tosa discusses, she's mochel, her knas. That's shown in the Mishnah later on. It says, hey, Yusoma, who's a mafuta, you don't have to pay. That means you don't have to pay knas, because she was mochel. Why? So, according to the Yerushalmi, it makes perfect sense. Right? Alpidir Shalmi is because you would say we hold Mishar Rishona, meaning we hold that the mice is Mechayiv Yerknas. There's technicalities in terms of how to collect it, but the mice is Mechayiv Yerknas. What if you held the other side of the Chakira? So that's the challenge of the Ramban later on. The Ramban struggles with this in a few sugyas. The Ramban is very convinced that we hold the Vasov. We hold the Hamad B'din Mechayiv Yerknas. If the Hamad B'din Mechayiv Yerknas, then he's a problem. What? He doesn't want to say, like Rav Shmuel and Nugid, and like Rabbi Ovin and Yerushalmi and Rabbi Yossi and Yerushalmi. No. He says, we hold like Ramana. But why? So, says the Ramban, even if we hold Basof, you can still have a different hesber why Mechila works by Knas. It can't be that Mechila works. You can't be Mokhla Davash Loboliola. Pretty sure everyone agrees, or at least certainly the Ramban agrees, in Ksubas and Misugyas, that you can't be Mokhla Davash Loboliola. Certainly that's a Psak and Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishra Reish Tess, that you can't be Mokhla Davash Loboliola. It's clear you can't be Mokhla Davash Loboliola. Ah, so watch Pshat, the Ramban. On Daf, I think Lamed Zayin, I said?
The last Ramban on Lamed Zayin.
Lamed Zayin says two pshatim. What are his two pshatim as to why there can be Mechila here even without Mechila? Even if Yod Basof, it works not because of Mechila, but, I mean, maybe you can't have Mechila. It's a Dabar Shel Bali, there's no Mechila. But what other mechanism does he suggest? He's just, maybe it's not Mechila, but instead, here it's a little unclear. His lashon, he's referring to sugyas that really are later on in Aram Masechet that we're not as familiar with. But, I don't remember if I brought the lashon. Oh, it's here. He said exactly something like that. There's a concept called siluk. Right? This is based on sugyas later on. It's Perek HaOmer, the whole ninth perek, is about basically someone who enters into a transaction, or even not a transaction, enters into a relationship with the condition that he doesn't have all the rights that he would normally have. That's not mechila. Mechila means, you owe me the money, I forgo the money. This means, no, I want to bend the rules and say, you know what, I will enter into this relationship, but I don't want all the rights the Torah gives me. The Gemara says that, for example, the classic example is a guy can say to his wife between Erusin and Nisuin, I want to renounce all my rights to your property, I don't want to be able to, one of the days of a Yerusha. The guy can say before the Chuppah, you know what? I'll marry you, I'll bring you to the Chuppah, but I don't want the rights of Yerusha. And that's valid. The Ramban here brings a machlokas about this. He says, that's because Yerusha bought a long life from Acher, meaning a right someone's acquiring. What does he say? He says, once someone's already married Nisuin, everyone agrees, once I already bring the girl into a chuppah, then it's too late. I can't say I don't want to yarshin you anymore. Why? Because that's, maybe someday you'll inherit $1 billion. I know your father's very rich. I don't want to yarshin that $1 billion. I give up on Moichel. That's Mechilas Dabar Shel Bali Olam. Right now I haven't inherited any $1 billion. Right now you don't even have the $1 billion. Someday you might. I can't be Mochel Dabar Shel Bali Olam. Once the relationship is here, once Nisuin is here, you can't be Mochel Dabar Shel Bali Olam. But before the Nisuin, I could say, I want the Nisuin without the Yerusha. I could say, I want to enter into this relationship, but I don't need all the rights that come with this relationship. That's the concept called siluk. the phrase for it is called sila. It doesn't mean I'm Michael the money. It means that I'm entering into a relationship, but I'm not stand. But I don't need these rights. What? Ah, so he quotes a machlokes rishonin here. Some people say that's only for drabbanans because the husband's Jewish is drabbanan. All it means that if it's a kavod drabbanan, I could say I'm a selling myself. I don't need that right. But the Ramban holds not that way. This is what he holds later on in Ksubas in the main sugya Nafka Gimel. He holds that even for Doraisas, any right that comes out of a certain relationship that I don't want to acquire, it's like Masta Mashakaz Matorah with Dabar Shiva Mammon Tzinao Kayim. Right? Dabar Shiva Mammon Tzinao Kayim. I can say I want to enter a relationship and change the non-financial parts, right? Just like a guy can say, I'm marrying a woman, I'm a Nas, that you don't have sharing sus, you don't have the monetary rights. You can. Once she's married, she can't do that. Once she's married, that's mechila of davar shel bali olam. But before you're married, you can enter into a customized marriage. That's called siluk. So the Ramban says maybe siluk works here, meaning any girl who is her own in charge of herself, right? She doesn't have a father in charge of her. She's not netzah. She's mafuta. She agrees. She is the only one in charge, and she agrees. She can't be mochel her knas. She's not saying, you owe me 50 shekel and 50 sel and I'm mochel. Because it's davar shel bali olam. She can't be mochel. He holds on herself. But she can be misalik. She can say, you know what? I know normally ones and pitoy creates a certain ma'aref of obligations. That's okay. I'll sleep with you willingly and we won't create these obligations. That's called siluk. Okay, it's a chiddush. There's such a power in doraisas. That's my book's Rishonim.
Also, the relationship is totally different between marriage and mafuta. Like the,
correct.
The,
meaning
the chiyuv that are happening are totally different.
Right. Marriage is more of like really a transaction. It's perhaps
it's
not.
It's a real relationship.
It's a real relationship. Here, it's more of an onesh. Here, it seems like more of an onesh than a real relationship. Right here, it's a relationship. So, you know, we can customize our relationship. Normally, I get certain rights. You get certain rights. I don't have to have those rights. Right over here, it's a bigger finish to say siluk.
It's like right.
Right. Siluk. It's not a right. This is a punishment. What I can be salik from you getting a punishment for doing a bad thing? No, I can be salik if we have a relationship. I don't need all the rights that other people have in that relationship. But in a crime, can I be misalik from the onus to a crime as a chiddush? Okay, that's the chiddush, the Ramban, that siluk even applies to a crime, not just to a relationship. However, the second shot of the Ramban is the achronim like better. So this is a big chiddush siluk. I realize we haven't done justice to the concept of siluk. It's a very subtle concept. You really have to learn being in the ninth parak of Ksubas. Okay, one of these days. Or that's his first shot. Or he has a second shot. The second shot, I think, is much smoother. He says, let's compare this to other damages. Right? If you saw the Ramban al-Torah, you saw it. He views onus mafata from the rubric, from the perspective and framework of damages. Let's say, for example, I say, rip my shirt and you won't have to pay. So you could view that as mechila. I'm mochel the money. My shirt's worth, I don't know, 80 shekel. So I'm mochel the 80 shekel, and then it would be okay as long as I was saying that at the time you were ripping my shirt, then it's already bali olam, I can be mochel the 80 shekel. The Ramban says, no, that's not pshat. If I tell you rip my shirt and it's okay, it's not that I'm mochel the 80 shekel. It's that you're not chayiv the 80 shekel in the first place because you weren't mazik me. Mazik means to damage my property without permission. If I let you damage my property, that's not mazik in the first place. You're not chayiv anything. The achronim use the phrase, Ramban does mazik rishus, meaning you're not chayiv in the first place. I don't have to be mochel. If I let you, then you haven't done anything wrong in the first place. And he says, basically what I'm doing is I'm giving you the right to tear my shirt. So it's mazik. You're really tearing your... If I tear my shirt, I'm not mazik. Why? Because I have the right to. So if you give me the right to tear your shirt, I'm not mazik in the first place. And therefore, you don't need to be mochel. You don't need to be masalik. It's just not a mazik in the first place. So the Ramban says, maybe that's really pshat. It's not mitin mechila because davar shel bali olam. It's not mean mechila is mechila the 50 selah. That's lo bali olam. And maybe siluk's not so pshat either because siluk we usually find by relationships. I wouldn't say marriage, a business relationship, but financial exchanges. You know, relationships. Not necessarily by crimes. But says the Ramban here, no. Maybe what I'm doing is, he says, it's not that she's giving up the 50 shekel, that it's mechila davar shel bali olam. She's not giving him the 50 shekel. She's giving him herself. she's giving him the right to sleep with her. Okay, if he has that right in the first place, then he hasn't done anything wrong. The key of onus mafata is for taking a girl that you do not have the right to take. If she gives you, onus clearly doesn't have the right to take, even mafata doesn't have the right to take because he didn't ask the father permission. But if she doesn't, she's her own bialim, she's Yisoma, she doesn't have a father, then he's not doing anything wrong in the first place. I don't mean mitzad kedusha. Obviously, he's doing something wrong by sleeping around in znus in terms of the bin adam la makom that he's not, very chaste. But in terms of the Ramah Chavir, he hasn't done anything wrong in the first place because it was consensual. So, okay, you're not giving him after Yona, but what taina does she have on you? You never did anything wrong in the first place, and that's a davar shebal yolam. She's not giving him the 50 shekel. She's giving him her body. That's bal yolam. She's walking around with it all the time. And that's the second shot of the Ramban, says the old krashi rain shalidi pater who shalot knas bol vad machlo. It's not machil the knas ela gufa masrelo. She didn't give up mochel the knas that doesn't exist yet. She gave him her guf in the first place, and now he hasn't done anything wrong. Lasos bakert sono. It's not onus, it's not, clearly not onus, mefata, but it's not what's wrong, but he's saying what's wrong with mefata is that even mefata, he didn't ask permission. Why? Because the father didn't agree. But if she's a yesoma, then a gufa muscle lasa bokeh sono, he go ramsa osa kol, and that's his helps the Rav Muna, or he says, what it is, what he calls the achronin call, mazik bershos, meaning that, she gave him, I don't mean she gave him her guf permanently, obviously she gave him her guf to use temporarily, right, she gave him her guf, and he's not chayav in the first place. Okay, this is the pshat the achronim feel more comfortable with from the Ramban, that he hadn't, it's not, you're right, you can't be mochel the knas, it's not bal yolam, but you don't even have, you only have to be mochel the knas if there's a knas because you took her guf without permission. If she was mochel, go from the first, not mochel, gave you no sing or go from the first place, then you haven't done anything wrong. There's no knas, and therefore it's no problem in the first place. So you could, one second, agree with Tosas, mechila with knas, not because the Yerushalmi's reason that it only works on one side of the hearing knas. There could be another way to agree that mechila works. Mechila doesn't work, but something better than mechila works, such as Rishus Gufa.
You can't work by onus. The definition is that.
Oh, of course you can't work by onus. It's only by mafata Tos is talking about. Tos is only talking about, you have to hold a cup in the head that haven't got here. Tos is only talking about mafata, right? That's what he started with Papa and Sanhedrin, says our mission is mafata.
Yeshua
and
psychologically, this is true. I mean, like, whether she is really willing to.
So Yeshua Ayin, psychologically, and all these vague things, saying they have mechila, meaning, is mafata gmirstas, right? Meaning. The Rambam actually says, which we maybe we'll get into a little later, that mefata doesn't mean she wants to be mezana. It means she didn't want to be mezana, but he talked her into it. So it's an interesting question. Is that really gemir stas? You could ask him all these four. Right. Is it really, what do you mean mechila? Who says mechila? Maybe he talked her into it without gemir stas. Who says it's siluk? Maybe without gemir stas. Who says rishos? Maybe without gemir stas. So minastam, theoretically what you're suggesting is you could say mechila doesn't work, but for a different reason than Yerushalmi, because right. she never really meant to say it's okay. But that is not where the Bab, that's not going to help us in the Bab here, so let's leave that for now. The Achronim, Rabbi Chana here, I'll just mention, points out that there could be a nafgamina between, let's leave out Selig for now, between A and C. There could be a nafgamina whether it's mitam mechila or mitam rishos. What's an afkamina, whether it's mitam mechila or mitam rishus? So he points out, Rabbi Kiva Eger has a funny case. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, what if she, according to Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, I hope, I always forget which is the Mishnah, which is the Braisa, that if she was Nisarsa and Nisgarsha, she gets her own class. So Rabbi Kiva Eger has a crazy case. Excuse me, the answer tells Kasha. He says, what if her father betrothed her and then accepted a gift for her, and she doesn't know? She thinks the knas goes to her father, but really the knas goes to her. So he says, in that case, she's not mochel the knas, because she didn't know it was hers to be mochel. So Rav Chanan points out, this could be a nafkamina. Says Rav Chanan, says, could be a nafkamina bein mechila lirishos, is a case where a mefuta she savra she knasa le'aviha uve'emes knasa li'atzma. She thought the knas goes to her father. She didn't realize she was betrothed and divorced. Okay, I'm not saying this is an everyday likely case, but it's a possible scenario that Rabbi Yeager brings up in his Kedushim right here on Shas. But really, the knas goes to her. So, according to the Mechila Pshat, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, says there's no Mechila on the knas. Why is there no Mechila on the knas? Because she doesn't know that it's hers. How could she be mochel it if she doesn't even know she owns it? Right? Because she doesn't know it's hers. So therefore, chayiv knas. However, says Rav Chanan, says Rav Chanan, that's if you say the Ptur is mitam mechila. Right? That you're mochel the shekel, not the guf. But if you say the mitam rishus of her guf, then says the Kobet Shirin, lefi Ramban, yesh nesinas gufa upater miknas. Rabbi Kiva Eger is based on let's assume it's Tosos sounds like it's Mechila, although he's not so explicit, but he certainly used the Lashon of Mechila a lot. So a new Shalmi Tosos and new Shalmi. Yes, it's a strange case, but this is what Rochanan says here in Ospehei or something, Kovet Shirim, and the notes on Ksubas here, he says, what if she knew she was giving him her guf, but she didn't know that she owned the knas? So if you say it's mitam mechila, 50 sela, she didn't know she had 50 sela, so you can't be mochel something that you don't know you own. So he's chayiv. But if you say it's rabban, it's because he gave her a shosin, she gave him rishus and he didn't do anything wrong in the first place. She gave him rishus, he didn't do anything wrong in the first place. And she gave up her guf willingly. And therefore, he would still be potter. And that could be enough for me now. But also, maybe the Tosfos Rashi says, what about a case where she says, I'm willing to be with you, but I'm not mochel the knas? So if you take the mechila perspective, she wasn't mochel the knas, you have to pay. If you take the Ramban perspective, what do you mean? She gave you her guf. Who cares? She's not mochel the knas. There's no knas in the first place. Could also perhaps be a nafkamina. So there could perhaps be two nafkamina between the mechila perspective and the rishus perspective.
Is it not to say, even for the Ramban, that say it's rishus if she doesn't know about it? Meaning the
I see what you're saying. If she thought her goof was her father's and her goof was really hers,
right, like
then maybe
it's not like the shirt that, like, you know that this is a key that's going to come to me.
I do hear the taina. It's interesting. Obviously, we're coming to not. I hear that Taina. But I hear Taina. Taka, maybe you're right.
All right. That's a question.
Maybe I shouldn't trust everything I read in Rav Chanan.
I have a question on the Ramban, Mazik Rishus. And Mazik Rishus means if I tell somebody they can destroy my property. That's the Mazik Rishus. If I tell somebody they can come hit me over the head with a bat. I mean, that's not Mazik Rishus.
Okay, that's a very good point.
Reb
Moshe deals with that. In the Igros Moshe, maybe not in the paragraph I put here, but in that Siman, he deals with the fact that, and as a matter of fact, I think he might even say that explicitly. He says, you can't really have her giving Rishus for this, because Rishus is only something that I'm allowed to do. I can rip my shirt, so I can let you rip my shirt. But she has no right to be Mazana her body. So she can't give you the right to use on her body. So Rav Moshe does have that objection. Correct, Rav Moshe has that objection. So far we have two objections to Rav Chanan.
What was the first one?
Rav Moshe's objection was, he says, she can't give your shus over her goof. Because she's not allowed to use on her goof.
What was the first one?
She's getting an audience.
It's
different than the
netzer. Right. So Elsin's objection was that maybe since she thinks her goof is her father's, so she can't give her shus. Because she doesn't know it's hers to give her shus. Okay, yesh l'ayin, that's very subtle. Okay, yesh l'ayin, this Rav Chanan. You know, I'm not wedded to this Rav Chanan, which is a good segue into our next Makor sheet. You're right, yesh l'ayin harbi in this Rav Chanan. I'm not wedded to, I'm not committed to this Rav Chanan. Therefore, maybe we should go on a little further in the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara now asks a question. The first question is not as exciting. Hani naris psulus istu knas shirish lo. They just have a shock question in the Mishnah. Only elu naris shishlam knas. Mamzeris sina kutis. What about normal girls? They don't have a knas. The Gemara says no. Hachi kamar. Elu naris psulus shishlam knas. Haba ala mamzeris says no. The Gemara means it's pashut a regular girl gets a knas. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. It's a regular girl. The Mishnah only teaches the chiddush. These are the naris that are pasul that you might think doesn't get a knas, as we'll see in a bit. You might think because you're not, you don't marry them, they don't get a knas. Kamashulan that they still get a knas, at least according to the Mishnah, right? We see Shimon Athimani, Shimon Manasya disagree. Nara in Katana lo. The Gemara makes a deal. Nara gets a knas, but a Katana doesn't. It's not exactly clear how the Gemara makes this diuk, meaning how do they know it means Nara in Katana lo. Maybe, as Tosafot says, it just means Nara in Bulgaris lo. Everyone agrees that Bulgaris doesn't get a knas, right? Over 12 and a half. So Tosafot says that that really it's that he quotes either it's Ba. We're not being dyke from our Mishnah. We're really cheating a little. We're really being dyke from the end of the Perek. In the end of the Perek, it says explicitly that according to the, that it has a Mishnah of Rabbi Meir, that a Ketana doesn't get a knas. Kalmach Mishish Mefer in knas. Okay, so really, we mean the Mishnah later, not the Mishnah now. It's a little dachuk. The Ramban says that no, it can't be that they're really dyke from our Mishnah. Why? It's obvious that Bogeris doesn't get a knas. That's obvious, all Tanam agree, that's obvious from the Pesukim, that Bogeris doesn't get a knas. So therefore, since it's obvious, you don't need Naros to exclude Bogeris, so Naros must exclude Ketana. Okay, so according to the Rabban, the Redaik from Chof Tess and Aleph, according to the Ritzvah and Tosos, the Redaik from Mem and Beis, either way, the Redaik that a Ketana doesn't get a knas. The Gemara says, "Mantam, I'm Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Meir. I'm Rabbi Meir. This Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, Ketana, Bas Yom Echad, and Shetovish Deisaros, Yesh Lo Mecher, Ein Lo Knas. Shetovish Deisaros, Yesh Di Bager, Yesh Lo Knas, Ein Lo Mecher, Divri Rabbi Meir. Shai Rabbi Meir, Omer Kol Mocher, Shesh Mecher, Ein Knas, Kol Mocher, Shesh Knas, Ein Mecher. V'Acham Rabbi Ketana, Gashol Shonam Yom Echad, Yachet Di Bager, Yesh Lo Knas." Okay, so this is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says basically until there's three stages, right? Ketana, until Deisaros, which, you know. Basically, where neither we say means when she's 12. Then, after 6 months, from 12 and 12 and a half, she's a Nara, and then at 12 and a half, she becomes a Gogeris. So, what does Rabbi Meir say? We know that Mecher, selling is an Omer Bria, beginning with Shpatim, we know only applies to a Ketana, not to a Nara. How do we know that? Because we darsh to the possibility that if you sell her when she's a Ketana, she goes free when she's a Nara. So, Kol Shekhen, you can't sell her when she's a Nara. Omer Bria can only be Bekatnos. There is no such thing as a Amar of Ria, who is a legal adult, only in Katnas. So he says, when there's Mecher and she's a Ketana, there's no Knas. So the Ketana doesn't have Knas. When there's Knas, because she's a Nara, there's no Mecher. A Nara doesn't have Mecher. And the Chachamim say, no, a Ketana, from when she's 3 years old and on, because that's the only time that there can be a Chalos Bia, until Bagros, meaning Bein Ketana, Bein Anara, has a Knas. Knas in Mecher, oh, wait, she's a Knas and not Mecher? No, Ema, Af, Knas, Moko, Mecher. She has a Knas, even if she also has Mecher. A Ketana has Knas and Mecher. And a Nara has only Knas. The Chachamim Shita is very straightforward. And that's how we paskin. That there's Knas. There's Knas all the way through. Right? Ketana Nara has Knas. It has nothing to do with Mecher. Rabbi Meir is an interesting Shita. He says, Mecher and Knas can't coexist. And that's also his Lashon in the Mishnah and Daf Mem and Beis. Right? Ketana has mecher but not knas. Nara is knas but not mecher, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara Daf Mem Beis says, where did they darshan it from? So the Chachamim darshan from the fact that how is Nara written? It's this week's parsha, right? How is Nara written in this parsha? Without a hay. So therefore, it's written like smaller, as it were. Not clear how this drasha goes either, because like it's a lesser word, so we dash a lesser Ketana, or because it's written na'ar, meaning someone who's not as serious female characteristics. That means even a Ketana who hasn't yet developed all of her female characteristics. But either way, we dash it. In fact, it's na'ar instead of na'ra. That means na'ra lavdavka, means na'ra and under. Ketana na'ra, but not Bulgaris. Rabbi Meir darshan's from below Siyela Isha. Losiel Isha Hidarshin doesn't mean through the father. Losiel Isha Mahavatsma Isha means she decides to marry him,
And therefore, he says it's only a girl who can decide on her own, which is when she's a gadolah, when she's a nara. Okay, that is, you know, a perfectly reasonable machlokes. Basically, Rabbi Meir says, well, siya le'isha means she has to be old enough to be bardas. Oh, why'd it say nara? Why'd it spell nara funny? No. I'm saying no, since it spells nara funny, means even katana. Lucy Leisha means either through herself or through her father. There's someone who's in charge of marrying her off. That Gemara is not as intriguing. Wouldn't bother us so much. What intrigues me, I don't know if it intrigued you as well, it certainly intrigued the Shittim Gubetzes, but not sure that where that led to for us, is what does any of this have to do with Mecher and Knas? Where does Mecher come into this? Right? In his Mokar in the Pasuk, he didn't say anything about Mecher. It's not like he's a drusha in Mishpatim in the parsha of Amma Evriya to exclude Knas, then it would make sense. If his Mokar is someplace that Amma Evriya, ki Yimkar is a pizza la Amma, he had an extra word to tell you there's no Knas. Okay, Gavaldik. But it's not. Why does he bring in Mecher? Come up to me. What's the relationship? Why should the fact she doesn't get Knas be related to the fact she does get Mecher, and the fact she does get Knas be related to the fact that she can't be sold as an Amma Evriya? It's exceedingly peculiar. Well, what does Shita Mikubetza say? Shita Mikubetza says something interesting. What does he say? He says, if she can be sold, she's a Shifka. A Shifka doesn't have Knas. There's not, and even as a stronger lotion, he says like, her Pagam is not really a Pagam. I can't really figure out exactly what he's trying to say. I understand a shifla doesn't have knas. That's an actual shifla. What he means is that any girl under 12 who can be sold, she's like nothing. She's like a shifla. Knas for a slave like this? What do you mean? You see, every girl, every Jewish girl in the world up to the age of 12 is a shifcha and is a bizayon and doesn't have knas and is just a nothing. It's a little funny. That's where everyone comes from. I understand where he's coming from. He wants to explain the relationship between mecher and knas. But it's a big finish that Shita Mikubetz says. That she's like a shifcha who, I just want to read you, Mimedayik, maybe a little in the Lashon. To prove what he means by she's a shifcha, let me just find it. Sorry, and Shita Mikubetz says we have to turn more pages than in other mefarshim. He says, give me half a second. Shayir Meir Omer Milsa B'Taima Ka'Omer Kevin Sheish Lomecher Via Rasha Via Lomocher L'Shifcha, since she can't be sold. Lachi in L'Knas. Not only Shifcha, Shifcha in L'Knas. When she can't be sold, she can't be coupled to anyone, then a pagam is a pagam. What's the deal? When she can be sold to a shifcha, a pagam is not a pagam. A shifcha has no pagam. She's garbage anyway. Seems like a very strange pshat. I mean, she hasn't even been sold. First of all, who says an amar friya is, you know, but she hasn't even been sold. She's just every single person in the world who theoretically could be. But that's what the Shita says. So, what is the pshat? And what is the relationship between mecher and knas? So, one pshat is the Shita Mikubet says that kishe aviha yachol lemachra Havya ke shifcha. And there's no common shifcha. It's very peculiar to me.
Maybe what he means is anytime a father can sell her, he can sell her to Menuvel, etc. So that's that.
He can be Makadish Anara to Menuvel Mukashvin. He can sell her, he can Makadish her to Menuvel Mukashvin.
Well, so it's even more wide.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really. I can't really claim that I really understand what the Shita Mikubetzes is getting at. It just seems a little peculiar. Okay, but we see what he was grappling with.
Is it possible the status of a shifcha is like the opposite of Mahava Atma? Mahava Atma means that she's like, has full bilo son.
Oh, correct, meaning he does have a mucker anymore later on, meaning the difference is someone who's in charge of herself and someone who other people are in charge of. Right. Now, not that Nara is entirely in charge of herself, but we'd say she's mostly in charge of herself. Right? So that someone in charge of herself, that's a dignified person who has a gun, knas. Someone who other people are in charge of is just not an important person. It just seems to be a bit
finish.
I'm not sure exactly where he's going to go. Like, your man says that you get knas from day one. And the mission said that a shivcho is free before she's three because of knas, which is an hour. So why?
Meir says you have mecher from day one.
Right, mecher from day one, which means that because you're a shivcha, that means you don't get a knas.
Until three, there's two reasons she doesn't get a knas. You're saying even if she is a shivcha, that's after she's a shtachra. Here she wasn't a shtachra.
But she was sold.
I know it's
you're not sold a shtachra, but like you have either of them. Like,
if you see it fine, it's a chiddush.
Doesn't the Shita Mikvetzis also give a reason the other way that when there's a knas, there's no mecher because she's
in charge of herself? Yeah, which is just the contrapositive here. When there's a knas only goes someone who's in charge of herself, and if she's in charge of herself, she can't be nimkar. But it's just, I'm not sure that I see why this should be relevant. Okay, could be. The boring shot, which is usually correct, is just that it's lav davka. Right? Maybe you could say lav davka. Meaning, there is no relationship. Maybe it's a coincidence. You know, like, who says Rav Meir is really saying something deep in Lumdish here? Maybe he just likes to point out cute cases where, like, you have, you know, complete mirror images that it flips at a certain point in time. Maybe he didn't mean there's any relation between Mecher and Knas. Maybe all he meant is that, isn't it interesting to point out that Dafka, these two never coincide, where there's one and not the other, and the other's not one? Not that there's anything to do with anything. It's just a coincidence. So you could say it's a coincidence. All right, Lav Dafka. It's a coincidence. If it's a coincidence, why does he make a big deal of it in the Brisa and make the whole Mishnah memo in base? Okay. Sometimes it's maybe it's a mnemonic device, makes it easy to remember. You never know. Okay, now the question is, do I want to go out on a limb? Well, what are the odds? Do I want to go out on a limb? Obviously, otherwise I wouldn't ask the question, right? When have you ever heard everyone say, do I want to go out on a limb? Nah. But I have to go out on two limbs now. Which means that you should prepare one of those trampolines the firemen hold underneath. Take the sheet and stretch it out. Prepare a net to catch me. So I want to go out on two limbs. Who's in charge of the board today?
I did I take a picture of this?
What?
Take a picture of this?
Yeah. You know how to take a picture with your phone?
I think so.
Yeah, apparently everyone does now. When I was a kid, I didn't know how to take pictures.
Yeah.
This looked good.
Okay. Great. The,
I never had a phone. So home is your phone.
Okay, Nunu. I want to ask a very fundamental question, which, okay, it's already, the third year? Maybe it's time to ask a fundamental question. Maybe you're not allowed to ask this question. You know, if you ask, why does the onus of mafata pay the knas of 50 sela, right? Or biblical language, 50 shekel. So the answer is gzeres hakasuv. But we generally tend to assume that these gzeres hakasuv means we wouldn't have figured this out on our own. But that doesn't mean that it's random and there's no reason for it whatsoever. It's just to test if you'll trust the Torah and pay the 50 shekel or not. No, mistama, there's some logic. It fits into the conceptual framework of Dini Mabanos. Just unlike other things, you're talking about bullshit begun, right? We know the Mishnah says later on, an mafata pays three things and the ma'anes pays four. Mafata pays, because we know all Chovel has nezek, tzar, ripui, shevus, and boshes. Okay, so the general case is that ripoy doesn't really apply. The girl doesn't need to be healed. Sheves doesn't apply. She doesn't miss work. But the others would apply. So a mefate pays 50 shekel knas plus boshes upagam. Boshes and boshes, clearly that's the big one. And pagam is the nezek. Now her body is chaser, right? Her body is damaged. He doesn't have to be tsar because he didn't hurt anyone. Just embarrassed her. But the ones has to pay four things. Besides the knas, he has to pay boshes, he embarrassed her, pagam, he damaged her roof, and tsar, because he caused her physical pain. Okay. So the Gemara already points out, now how do we know this? The Gemara is a Havmina. Maybe it's just, maybe 50 sela is all the damages, is a lump sum. Say no, the darshan, abai dar tachas asharina. Because he did it, he paid 50 shekel, but he also has to pay for damages. And Rabbi Darshan's Nasana is a shochev imar for the hanav shchiva, he pays 50 shekel. But he also has to pay damages. So it's clear, everyone agrees before Shemeshna later on, that you also pay damages. So the knas is not the payment of damages. And that way, it is more like, it may or may not be terribly like kefil dalav hay. You're not paying the damages. It's an additional knas. That's clear. There's an additional knas above chol b'chaveru. This is a very important point that whatever we say here about the knas, if we say lots of interesting, wonderful things about the knas, the chinuch already asked in mitzvah, whichever one I put here, the first one I put here, samach aleph. He says, al tispek am yosko kvudu v'smelch panima nim keres lebov v'chmishim kaslevina. What do you think? The Jewish girl is sold for 50 sela? That's it? That's all she's worth, 50 sela? I don't know, maybe in the old days for poor people would be a lot, but obviously, you know, not everyone can be happy with 50 sela. And what is the answer? He says, no, ain't that knas for to me, I was shechina b'vad. That's just a knas. She has to pay for the damage. That depends on the circumstances. Obviously, if it's a homeless girl, then the damages are going to be less. If it's a princess, the damages are going to be more. Whatever it is, you have to work it out, just like all other midon lachaveros, right? Unless someone would come and say, nowadays 50 shekel is not a lot of money. We're all rich nowadays compared to the times of Tanakh. Say, so, that's all she gets is 50 shekel. No one cares about all the suffering she went through. No, she gets paid separately for the suffering she went through. That's a different, the suffering she went through is a different point. She gets paid the same as anyone else who you assault and do bad things to. You always have to make up for the suffering you cause someone when you do bad things to them. That goes without saying. I mean, the Gemara says it. This is a special knas. So now we wonder ourselves, what's the point of this special knas, right? Why do you pay this special knas? We know most people who damage people don't pay a knas. Classic example is chovel b'chaveru, right? Let's say instead, we shouldn't think of doing such mean things, but instead of finding this nara and being onus umafata, let's say someone finds the nara and just beats her up instead. And that's also a very terrible thing. He has to pay all the damages, and you know they take him to the cleaners in court, but he doesn't have to pay a knas. So why davka here does he have to pay a knas? And this is a fundamental machlokes, why he has to pay a knas. What does the Ramban say on Chumash why he has to pay a knas? What does the Ramban say in Chumash? Why does he have to pay a knas?
Because the money that a suitor would have given her as an engagement.
Exactly. Now, there's a clue here. What is the amount of the knas? No problem. We're about to repeat it. But someone tell me, how did the Torah describe the amount of the knas? One place says, Hamishim. Clearly, the amount of this knas. Now, we're not getting into, maybe yet, maybe not in this parak, the whole debate there on Bomber's earlier in that piece that I didn't see Rex here, is Ksuba Darais Rabbanan. What does Morab Sulos mean? Okay, Lemaisa, whether Ksuba is Darais Rabbanan, everyone used to write it in the time of the Chumash. Everyone used to have a Ksuba. So it either means Morab Sulos the Torah requires, or Morab Sulos that society requires. Okay, we needn't concern ourselves with that for now. Why do you have to pay the amount someone gets when they get married? So Ramban says very pashut. He says that unlike when you assault someone in a non-sexual way, so then the damage that's done is basically the direct damage of nezek tzar, ripur, sheves, and boshes. Okay, some of it is more direct, like the nezek and the tzar happens right then. The sheves already is okay, you can be sick for a while, but it's more direct. When this is done, besides the nezek, tzar, ripor, sheves, and boshes, or the pagam, that's just another word for nezek, and boshes, and maybe tzar, you're also causing a sort of abstract, indirect damage that's not normally actionable in regular dinei chovel u'mazik. which is that she's less desirable for marriage now. Right? Clearly, you know, some of these things you have to put yourself in the head of people a long time ago to fully appreciate, or maybe even people nowadays who still live the way they lived a long time ago. Right? No one wants to marry her now after she was violated. Right, even in those days it was like pasnish, right? No one wants to, it depends. It depends when and where, meaning, you know. 20s it wasn't pasnish. But clearly you go back to
in the Muslim world.
Yeah, in Ad Hayom Hazeh, right? Ad Hayom Hazeh in the Muslim world. You can't get married if you're not, how do you get a shidduch if you're not a basula? What kind of shidduch do you get if you're not a basula? Okay, so, Baruch Hashem, there are clever, doctors, in the real Muslim countries, Afghanistan, Pakistan, they just stay basulas the old-fashioned way, you know, they're from. What do all the ones who are go to university and, you know, France and England do? Okay, so there are doctors who make a lot of money by plastic surgery to make them look like basulas. Must know those doctors are.
Why
so.
Can't that be considered nezek?
So nezek, so here's the point. How do you measure nezek? The Gemara says later on. Good question. How do you measure nezek? Pagam is called nezek, right? Anyone know how we measure nezek? And anyone ever learn how chovel? Kamu shaveh be? Ke'eved b'shok. You measure nezek as an eved b'shok, meaning in the purely physical perspective. Now, if you cut off someone's arm or break their leg, then that's a decent measurement because they use that for work, mostly. And the eved and the shok will lose a lot of value of work. In this case, so if a girl is violated and loses her basulim, so she's worth a little less as an eved b'shok. But that doesn't really capture it because it's more social than practical. So therefore, it's not captured by the regular rules of nezek. So what did the Rabban say? So the Torah comes and says, look, the regular rules of nezek don't capture this kind of damage, which is more social and less purely physical. Therefore, the Torah says, so instead, just tomorrow have a sulos, meaning instead of the regular rules of nezek where you work it out and you get people to estimate and you look at the shuk, etc., we'll just say, look, it's a damage in your marriage prospects. Obviously, every case would be different individually, but as a general rule, your marriage prospects can be approximated kamar habasulos, right? So we damage your marriage prospects. So for damaging your marriage prospects, he has to pay kamar habasulos, because that's a more indirect damages. But it's just, it's a kind of damages that don't qualify for normal chovah b'chaveru. That's the Ramban says very clear. They won't give this money for her. Right? Midoraisa, in the time of the Chumash, a Ba'ula didn't get any ksuba. Not like nowadays, Midorabanan at 100. Right? So for that ksuba, she's not going to get. He's going to have to settle, whatever. So we...
It's not a ksuba that the Rabban was talking about.
Correct, because the Rabban holds ksuba is not Doraisa.
The Rabban has a weird kind of...
Correct. Correct, but nonetheless, she's not going to get... Basically, you're trying to approximate what she's losing by not being able to get a good shidduch. What? And at least in the mafat, if he marries her, he doesn't have to pay because she did get a proper...
She put it on herself.
Right. In the onus, he has to pay even if he did marry her because we want to be extra strict with him and Yesh laws on that, maybe we'll come back to it. Now, the Or Sameach that I put in bracket here is a Chakira, and that's the first side of his Chakira as well. He says it's because it's not a physical damage that we can normally sue for in Hilchos Chovah L'Mazik, but it's a more abstract social kind of damage. And it's funny, it doesn't even qualify for boshes. But it's a more, it's very close to boshes. But there's something that falls through the cracks of normal damages, and therefore the Torah makes up for it by a knas. And then it is very, it just works out very nicely that the knas is more habasulos, because it's for the future marriage you are now ruining. Right, it's like a grama, maybe it's like a grama, correct? So, here is, what is the yisod of knas? Says the Ramban, and this is the Ursameach, the first side of the Ursameach Hakira, this is what he thinks the Rambam holds. He has a whole cheshbon that he thinks the Rambam holds, like this side of the Chakira, Rambam, Lefi Or Sameach. Okay, we'll see the lush of the Rambam. They say, what's pshat? It is, for the,
For the nezek of the future marriage, which was ruined. Right? Again, we don't know exactly what happened, but it's a general low plug. That's how he looks at it. He looks at it as nezek. However, the Rambam does not say that. What does the Rambam say in the beginning of the second perek of Nara Basula? Says the Rambam. Yeah, you have to work hard to find Nara Basula because it's very small. Chamishim Kesar Shel Knas, he quotes Rava. Okay, we always pass like Rava. Haim Dmei Hana Shkiva Bilvad. That's for the Hana of the Shkiva. Hana doesn't sound like damage, right? I mean, it's not because she lost. It's because he gained, right? Right, he says like the Lashon of Rava. Now, you could have said the Lashon of Rava is Lav Dafna. It's a drasha. But he takes the Lashon of Rava seriously and quotes it in the Mishnah Torah. It's not because of her loss. It's hard for me to accept the Ur Sameach that he means the same as the Rabban. It's not because of her loss. It's because of his gain. Hanah Shiva. He has to pay for Hanah Shiva. And the Chinuch also says in, at least in Mitzvah, Samach Aleph, he says, She'ena Knasrek me Hanah Shiva Bilvad. That's the Hanah Shiva. So the Rambam and the Chinuch say, the Chinuch Alpi Rava, in the Gemara, did I put the Gemara here? Yeah, Mem Aveis and other places, Mem Aveis, that it's not Nezek. Right? Hanash Shiva means you're paying for what you gained. It's not Nezek. Not Nezek. But Dmei Hanash Shiva, meaning because of what he gained. Not what she lost. Now here, Rav Mo... Yeah.
That's what you say. What's the Nezek of shame? Mishalim Mashinenes, right? By so there is the concept.
No,
that's
not the Nezek of Shame. When you're potter from shame, you pay Mashinenes. That's a different din. Even if you're potter from shame, you still pay Mashinenes.
But it is.
It's not Nezek.
Went through it with the Hanah.
Correct. Meaning we find a precedent
in the here.
Okay, good. So Aaron says we do find precedent in Bava Kamba, even in the case where someone's potter for shame for all kinds of technical reasons there, they still have to pay Mashinenes, meaning even when you're not chayiv for Nezek, you're still chayiv to pay for your Hanah, but it's a little funny. There's Mashinenes here, like, how do we know?
Also, we said before that the whole reason is the Retiyah, they give them like a patch, so here we're sort of quantifying it to a certain very mamun type thing. It's not
okay, correct. So I think you're really hinting at Rav Moshe here. Rav Moshe is something interesting. He says, what does it mean Hanah Shiva? He says you can't take this kipshuto. You can't necessarily compare it to Bava Kamma. What, he's paying her for services rendered? It's an exchange? Well, all of a sudden we made her into a prostitute? That's ridiculous. Besides, like, how do we know that's how much it's worth? Meaning that's not the going rate for prostitutes. Or maybe this. I have no idea. No one checked. But that's ridiculous. Obviously, it doesn't make any sense to say, look at these terrible things that are happening. You know, well, the best way to fix it is for him to say, well, it's an exchange. You gave me something, so I'll pay you for the service you provided me. That just makes it sound worse to us. So Rav Moshe says you have to understand Hanah Shiva. What does Hanah Shiva mean? It means not that he's paying in exchange for Hanah Shiva. Demand Hanah Shiva doesn't mean the value, the exchange for Hanah Shiva. What it means is the psychological counterweight to Hanah Shiva. What is Hanah Shiva? Hanah Shiva, why would a guy do these things? Onus umafateh. See, he's a big Yisrael and he wants the Hanah Shiva. So what does Ramosh say that this means? What does it mean to demand Hanah Shiva? It doesn't mean you're paying, I don't think you can say this. I find it very difficult to imagine. You're really paying an exchange. You're like saying, oh, well, thanks for the services, here's your fee. No, that doesn't make sense. What he says it means is a disincentive to counteract the Hanah Shiva. After all, if you do something wrong that you don't get a lot of Hanah from, then what do I need to do? I tell you, can you please do it better next time?
And besides, you listen and all the other people see and they listen from now on. Let's say, you know, you forget to turn off the air conditioner and waste money when you leave the room. So I say, if you try to be better about it next time, then everyone will be better next time. Because what's the big deal? It's not a big hana. But hana shiva, if guys are going and getting this big hana and doing crimes in order to have a big hana, then if we just tell them, well, you know, it'd be nicer not to, whatever, it's not going to work. What do you need to do? You need a big patch. You need a big disincentive in order to overcome these Arvana Shkiva. If, what's going to overcome these Arvana Shkiva? He says, well, I really want the Hana Shkiva. It's a big taiva. But on the other hand, there's a price to pay, and it's a big price to pay. And again, nowadays, 50 slum is not a big price to pay, just because the way economics works. But in the Chumash, 50 slum is a tremendously large price to pay. 50 slum is a lot of money, right? In Parshas Erechin, 50 slum is the value of, is the highest value of any of the people in Parshas Erechin, right? 50 slum is in Parshas Erechin. Zerach Homer Sorim B'Chamishim Shekel Kesef is a big field that you could support a whole family on in perpetuity, right? So therefore, that's where Moshe says Hana Shiva means a psychological counterweight to the, to make sure that you don't fall for the Hanas Shiva. And that's what he says here. He says that he says it's not because of what you damaged her. It's not for damage. He paid the damage. So what's it for? It's for the chait. It doesn't say it's hana shchiva. The Rambam says hana shchina. Shchiva ain't tashlumin al shovi hana. It doesn't mean you're exchanging for the hana. It doesn't mean a fair tit for tat exchange. It's not an esnan zona. No. Because of this tremendous hana, the Torah gave you a knas to teach you a lesson. And that's also what the Ur Sameach says in his second shot, that what is the point of this knas? It's to create a greater disincentive, and then it's similar to other things like kefel. Why do you pay kefel? Because gneiv is so easy to do, you know, maybe... This is more Rama or Nebuchim, not exactly the Musser in the end of Parag Meruba. A Gazlan is very hard, most people won't do it, you have to be very strong, etc. But Gneva, like anyone, might be tempted when no one's looking to take something. So the Torah says, not so quick, you might end up losing money, Kefel. That's what a lot of these, Knossos, might be for. So that's also, I think, Meduyik in the Chinuch. The Chinuch says on Ashkiva in Samach Aleph, but in Tavkof Nun Zayin, if we assume we can equate Samach Aleph is Mefat and Tavkof and Zayin is Ones, let's assume for now we can equate them. He says, Shim Yachshav Ones Lamalos Nafshaba, if he just wants to indulge his Taiva, Yegelin Oskin, but he might do it all the time. He says, it's a very easy, look, I get everything I want and no one stops me, it's just a little girl, you know, I'm much stronger. So, but Daichik, Shuim will tell us, look, but once he knows he's going to be punished, he talks also to the Isha, but he also adds, She's Chayv Lichnal V'Yachemishim Kesef, once he thinks, but there's a big price. Then, not as an exchange, Chas V'Shalom, but as the price to pay, as they say in court. You did the crime, now pay the price. That's what a Nashkiva means. And therefore, it's a psychological disincentive. That's what the Chinuch says as well in Tavkof Nun Zayin. That's what the Ur Sameach says in his second shot. So maybe what does this mean? Maybe what this means is not the payment in exchange for Hanashkiva. That would be very difficult. Payment in exchange for Hanashkiva, right? We don't want to make her into a zona. That doesn't solve the problem making her a zona. But rather, but a disincentive to counter the taiva of Hanashkiva. The price, like we said, you do a crime, now pay the price. We don't mean make it even. What we mean is learn your lesson and serve as an example to other people not to do things like this. So maybe it just means an onesh classic criminal justice theory that you give people punishments in order to make sure that they don't do crimes. Because if they know there's a punishment, they won't do the crime. And even if they did it, if other people see them getting the punishment, then other people won't do the crime, etc. That's what a nashkiva means. Not an exchange, but just a disincentive. I actually found something. I apologize for not putting it in the chorus, but I just found that I was looking around at all of the mafarshim and found something interesting. That in the
the and I think it's really maybe coming from the same place, maybe not, I'm not sure. Says Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsch on the Pasuk in Mishpatim. He says, Chiva Tor Knas Bashir Hamohar. Why? She came in Hadina Yalav Lasei Sal Isha. If he wanted to sleep with her, what should he have done? Meaning, right? We're not, shakers, whatever. It's mutter for a guy to sleep with a girl. All he has to do is marry her, right? I mean, we're talking about Asher Lo Rasser, right? We're not talking about an Eish Ish. We're talking about a girl he could have married. V'einat Hashem L'chinas Knas. And therefore he says, it's not a Knas. He doesn't have luckily it's not called a Knas. It means it's not an Onesh, not saying the same theory that I just did now. Just what he should have had to pay if he did it right. Again, whether it's the rice or whether it's just the minute everyone does it, he could have married her, and then if he didn't want to be married to her anymore, he would pay the mohar. Right? Meaning, if he did it the right way, this is what he would have been chayiv to her. All of the shalin kan b'makvinisuin, he still has to pay this instead. I think what he's saying here is, now again, this is maybe subtly different than the, I don't think it's necessarily a stira. It's not necessarily a stira, but it's just a different emphasis. Said, let me just put names here. Names, we put the Chinuch, the Igros Moshe, and the Or Sameach, the other side of the Chakira. That he doesn't think the Rambam holds. He says the Rambam holds like the Ramban, which I'm not convinced because the Rambam says no shechiva. But he says the other side of the Chakira is just as a disincentive. I don't think that what Hirsch is saying is a disincentive.
In
Shaloy in Chotei Niska, which again is very similar. But what did Hirsch say? He says, interesting. Why is it Kamor Habasulos? It's not for the future marriage which he now ruined. It's for the marriage he should have done but didn't. Meaning, what did he do wrong here? What he did wrong here, now he did many things wrong, right? Let's say he was ma'anish the girl. He caused her to suffer and was very mean to her. But for that he pays sar, right? That's not what we're dealing with here. What's the knas for? The knas is not because of how mean he was to her. Because for that he already paid. He was a terrible guy. The knas is because, maybe it's a more fundamental point. He should have married her if he wanted to sleep with her. He skipped the stage of chuppah v'kiddushin. He skipped that stage. He still has to pay for the marriage that he didn't do. He owes her, what's the hanash chiva? It doesn't mean esnan zona. It means, if you want to sleep with a girl, then your obligation is to marry her first. So he's paying her, besides the damage he did, he also didn't do, he did a damage, but he didn't do what he should have, which was a marriage. Maybe he's paying for the marriage he didn't do. And that, even though Hirsch is not saying the exact same Lashon HaDibur Moshe, maybe it's coming from the same place, because why is the disincentive Chamishim Kesef? Maybe the disincentive is Chamishim Kesef, because what are we saying? We're saying that, what's the disincentive? It's not a disincentive to sleep with girls. It's a disincentive to skip the marriage first. So what are we saying? Everything that you skipped, you still have to do, and maybe that's a disincentive. We'll see a Leisha, and Chamishim Kesef, so Mefat a little more Megal, Omis a little more Machmir. So I'm not even sure that it is two different pshat, but the same pshat. But I think here's the pshat. What's he saying? He's saying that, Rav Hirsch says, it's not an Onesh. It's rather Dmei Hanashchiva, in the most literal sense, not Dmei Hanashchiva as an Esnan Zona. Dmei Hanashchiva, the right way to get Hanashchiva. What's the right way to get Hanashchiva? To get married first. And getting married has certain obligations, basically marriage and the Ksuba, which are exactly the obligations we find here. So I think here he's saying it is Dmei Hanashchiva Mamish, but not Chas V'Shalom as an esnan zona, rather, unlike the Ramban who says that you're paying for the marriage that she's not going to have to a tall, dark, and handsome prince next week, you're paying for the marriage that she should have had with you if you want to do such thing. You're paying for the marriage you skipped before Bia. Maybe that's the Mehanah Shchiva. The Mehanah Shchiva, you got something good out of a certain relationship, but you skipped the stage of doing the commitments and the obligations of that relationship. So, and it could be not just a disincentive. Again, these are not a steer. These shot could work together. But I think from Rav Hirsch it's saying, maybe I'm reading too much philosophy into it. So it's not a knas, it's not tzidul as an onish. Maybe it's a fundamental point, meaning you did something which violates our ideas about the proper context of bia. What do you have to do to make up for that? Obviously, in the Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, you have to pay her pigam and tzared and boshes. You do two things. You were mean to her, and for that you pay her. Besides being mean to her, you misunderstood and misapplied the concept of bia with a girl in the wrong context. So what do you have to do to make up for that? You have to demonstrate, commit yourself to the right context for bia. You have to commit yourself to the right context. And that's what this knas and losili isha is all about. Maybe it's a fundamental point of making up for skipping that stage of a proper marriage context and commitment context of bia by making it up afterwards. Now, I'm not getting to losili isha now, but there is a fascinating discussion. I'll just be Marami's that we'll come back to it. There's a sheet of the Merkevus HaMishnah. It's a parish on the Rambam in Hilchos Isuri Bia Perigud Zayin Alachatesvav, who's Mdaik the Ramanar Basula, that when you actually marry her, you don't need Kiddushin. People I know from Afreya that it was Kiddushin Bia, that it's a Savior. Meaning, when you marry her, you actually make it okay to go Afreya. What? Oh, Mafata has an additional Ksuba and an Onus doesn't, but that can be for technical reasons. What?
If you marry her,
you're Mafata or an Onus. Right. But you do it for writer Ksuba. And says the Rambam, the Mefata has to write her Ksubas Besula, not a Ksubas Be'ula. Meaning, there's no Knas because he writes her Ksuba. Why does he need to pay the more Besulas? He writes her more Besulas. Right? And so I think that would fit very nicely if you took this idea of the Rambam, which we're going to have to get back to. There's a whole discussion about Bulas Atzmo, what kind of Ksuba you get. But if, now there's a wild shot in the Rambam, the Merkevus HaMishnah, that Mamish, when you marry her, it was marriage all along. You fixed the context all along. Okay, if you don't marry her, at least have the context of Gershon all along. You know, okay, you could marry someone and have a one-night stand with her and then divorce her. Again, I'm not saying we'll give you Mafter Yon, I'm not saying that Missile Shar would like it, but technically. Okay, so either fix it by really being married to her in the proper context, or at least fix it by going back and saying, you know, let's view it, Ke'ila, what we should have done is I should have married you and then divorced you the next day. Of course, then I would have certain commitments to you. So here's the commitment, the Moar HaBesulos. So again, whether or not you look at the Losi Elisha as going back to Mafreya or not, you know, that would just be, it's a radical sheet. The sheet is Yachar, the Merkevus HaMishnah, that Lamafreya makes you married. But even if you don't go so far, maybe you're fixing the context, and that could work together with the Igros Moshe. What's the disincentive? The disincentive is you wanted to skip something because it was a burdensome and a pain to go through this marriage thing. So the answer is no. You have to go through all the marriage thing, and therefore that'll teach you that you can't skip steps. So I think this is a very fundamental machlokas, which will tie into, yeah.
Could we say that this machlokas started on Ayin Rabba and then the days?
Ah, so could you go back to
Ayin Rabba on Mem Beis?
Ayin says, Tachas Asherina. And Rabba says, Hanash Shiva. Rabba clearly sounds a little more like Rav Hirsch, or maybe like the Rav Moshe. Ayin sounds more like, because you damaged her, or maybe like Ramosh. Like, they could both fit in the middle with just a disincentive. But correct, you could say that maybe it depends if you quote Abaye or Rava. I haven't seen a lot of post-game quoting Abaye. I guess just in general, we always like Rava better than Abaye, but I think you're absolutely right. Now, this is going to tie very, very, very crucially, I think, into Daf Chav Testament base. And this has everything to do with the Machlokas Rashi and Ben Chananel. In Dibur Hamaskil, the Ikabinaihu Beulah LeKohen Gadol of Laman of Aleph, but we'll have to come back to that. So this chakir is going to be crucial. And keep in mind, right now,
This chakir is very abstract. I don't really have a firm basis in Rishonim to hang my hat on, maybe a Rav Hirsch, but I will have one of the Flamenim days, I firmly believe. Maybe, here I'm going out on a limb. Okay, this wasn't such a bad limb. But I think it's an interesting perspective, meaning, what is the point of this? What everyone agrees, the point of this is it doesn't capture how bad it was that this fellow did this dastardly act. No. According to the Ramban, it captures the sort of indirect effects of the dastardly act. According to the Rav Moshe, it's not about effects. It's just about giving him an extra patch, because these acts are so dastardly that we need to give people extra patches to make sure that they don't happen too often. And according to Rav Hirsch, maybe the pshat of Hanash Tiva, no, it's about a fundamental statement of not that you could really make up for it, but that besides being very mean to her, you also neglected the institution of and the framework of marriage and the proper framework for bia between a boy and a girl, and therefore you have to make up for that, even if only symbolically. It doesn't really, might not go back and make it all kosher v'yasher, like the Mishnah Melech, necessarily. But at least symbolically make up for it by trying to fill in and acknowledge the proper context for bia. So it's about the institution of marriage. So those are the three different shots of my thing and what's going on here. Now, here's where I'll go out on a bit of a limb. But let's go back to Knas and Mecher and Rabbi Meir. If he really means something like Knas and Mecher. Personally, if I had to pick between us on the board now, I'd rather say lav dafka coincidence and don't take every form relation so deeply than say the shifu kvetzes. Okay, my humble opinion. But maybe you can say something a little more wild, and then of course we'll have to stop. Why is there mecher for a katana and not a nara? Why is there mecher for a katana and not a nara? What's the point of mecher? Right? So, now, I'm halachically, the father, the mekadesh, the daughter, at any age, mean moser, lechope, at the age of 3, etc. But we all know, bain in the time of the Tanakh, bain in the time of the Shas, when is a girl supposed to get married? Right? When is the age when a girl is supposed to get married? What? No, when she's a bogeret, she's an old maid. That's already a singles crisis, a shidduch crisis, if she's a bogeret. At 12 and a half, the grandmother starts worrying and the mother starts nudging. She probably knows the father. Not the girl of those days. But at 12 and a half already, you're an old maid, avud, you'll probably just be a spinster aunt, who knows what's going to be. You'll go off the deref, who knows what's going to be. 12 and a half, it's a baya. That's clear, meaning if you look at the historians, if you let your girl get to 12 and a half, then you're in big trouble. You're messing up your whole family.
Where is this recorded history? I would like to see this.
What?
What historians say this? I'd like to see this.
Okay, so...
I suspect they didn't really get married that now. Maybe, depending on where...
Oh, no, I don't mean in the 1800s. I mean in the... I don't even know if you have to go back that far, meaning... Hey, you go back 3 generations as Sfardim when they got married. And even nowadays, the Hasidim are creeping. If you grant me my Hanukkah, a Katana is not the age when she's supposed to get married. What's the point? What's the whole point of Amevriya? He's supposed to do, what's Ilach Achila supposed to do? At the end, Yiyud. Why did he marry her now? The point is, I don't mean how luckily they can be Chalus. I mean, sociologically, normally, she's not omedes at this point to get married. She's too young to get married. So what did the father do? So he needs to find some place to feed his daughter, whatever he can't handle, he can't keep his daughter. So she's too young to get married, so he sells her as an amma, and hopefully that'll lead to marriage. And if not, when she's old enough to get married, then she has, she has her own chance to try again. Right? It could be that the whole point of Mecher is that she's too young to get married now. And maybe that's a little what Rav Meir is saying. What Rav Meir is saying is, what's the Katana and Nara? Not, now, in terms of the Ramban, they both have a future Shidduch that's going to be ruined. Right? Just one is the short-term future, one is the long-term future. Right? They both have the Grama. But maybe in terms of what we just said now, the Katana is not
you don't usually go around marrying katanas. The Nara is waiting to get married. The Nara is omedis to get married. Okay.
Some of the formulations of the Rishonim, I think there are bonds in the part I did in Xerox, said something that doesn't resonate with modern day people. He said, ah, why did the Mephatha marry? Because Nara is omedis. You just marry anyone, so here's someone. Okay, that's not exactly how we think about it, but clearly, just the Nara and Katana. Nowadays, okay, we don't understand 12 as an adult. You know, okay, they make a bat mitzvah party nowadays, but we don't take it seriously. But when 12 is an adult, meaning 12 is marriageable age, is a kalamatal. Katana is a little kid. So a little kid, again, I don't mean how luckily there can't be a chalos of marriage. But I mean that a little kid is not omedis to get married. She's not the age she's supposed to get married. As a matter of fact, Rav Levi in Second Gerev Yedushin says, L'chachila, you are not supposed to be mekayyeh, you're not allowed to be mekayyeh your daughter until she's 12. Right? So Katana is not omedis to get married. A Nara is omedis to get married. Maybe you could say, of course, this is like the funny thing. What's worse, right? To rape a Katana or a Nara? We would all think the Katana. Ah, man, you don't pay a knas. Chotei nisker. What's with or the Mefata? What's worth? The Nara at least has some das. The Mefata, you can say it's partially her fault, whatever. The Katana, pizza Katana, onus, who we say, right? So why are we makel on the Katana according to Rabbi Meir? Why are we makel on the Katana? It's peculiar. Why are we makel on the Katana? So, maybe because of Shiluk Betzes, which is also peculiar, maybe having nothing to do with Mecher, and they will speak of that a great old enough man, maybe Pshat is this, that's precisely the point, because it's worse. A Katana, you shouldn't have been, you really don't go around sleeping with Katanas at all. You wait till they get older. So right now, your problem, you didn't insult the institution of marriage, you didn't neglect the institution of marriage, you shouldn't have anything to do with her. Therefore, 50 shekel is not going to help. There's no point in making you pay the 50 shekel, because what you did was worse than just skipping the stage of marriage. What you did was just take a girl who was supposed to be left alone to her own business until she was old enough. So therefore, the 50 shekel doesn't help, because what do you mean hanash shchiva? There is no hanash, she was no mendes for shchiva, even through nisuin. The Nara, okay, at least there's a havamina. You could have gone to the father, you could have said, let's talk, you know, this, that, who knows whether you would have succeeded or not. But there are channels to go through, and they involve more of a sulos, they involve Losi and Leisha. So maybe you could say that's what Rav Meir means. I have no proof for this whatsoever, it is merely speculation, but maybe you could say that b'makom sheyesh mecher Eina omedes l'nisuin. She's not the age when she's ready for nisuin, and therefore it doesn't help to pay a knas and l'si l'isha. You're probably, you had a bigger problem than that. You did something which is not in the parsha at all, right? Okay. So aval b'makom she'ein mecher. And what I'm claiming here is that mecher is all about a girl who's not ready for nisuin yet. That's what mecher is. Mecher is a girl who's not ready for nisuin. Maybe could you kedusha, but that wouldn't help, right? If you put yourself in the eyes of that father in ancient Near East. So Kedushin, he still has to feed her. That doesn't help. He needs to send her to another household, right? He can't feed her. Okay, so at day 12, he give her b'nisuin, b'itin asati l'shazeh, say good luck. And until then, he has to sell her to Naaman and hope it'll be yid and it'll work out in the end. Makom she'ein mecher, omedes l'nisuin, v'shayach. Then it's shayach, the story that we said, that you're paying for the nisuin that you should have done. But in Katana, you shouldn't have even done nisuin. You should have just left her alone legamrei. Therefore, of course what you did is worse. What you did is so much worse that you can't call it an offense against the institution of marriage. It was an offense against civilization legamrei. An offense against civilization legamrei, you don't pay more habasulos. An offense against the institution of marriage, then you pay more abasulos. Maybe you could read that into Rabbi Meir. That is a speculation. You don't have to. You don't have to think it's true. If you want to be my friend, you have to think it's clever at least. but you don't have to think it's true. But maybe you can be mechadish that pshat within. Maybe you can mechadish that pshat within Rabbi Meir. Okay, maybe we'll revisit Rabbi Meir another for a few minutes. It's already exceedingly late. Anyone who wants to ask a question, that would be great, because then we'll end not with me making everyone late, but with someone else, and, you know, psychologically, you'll resent the person who asked the question.
In ancient Rome, it was common to get married up to two weeks.
Great, exactly. And it wasn't only ancient Rome, it was ancient Near East.
Later on, Middle Ages, it got later.
Oh, I'm not talking about the Middle Ages. In Hanabi, and now he's getting. I'm not talking about the Middle Ages. I'm talking about it. I'm talking primarily the Chumash. Although it works in Chazal also. Chazal is closer to ancient Rome.
I think what's strange for us is that there's nothing specific completely about Onis. Nothing Bein Adam LeMakom. There's no love, there's no Malchus, there's no... And, today we see this being a terrible criminal.
Aha. So that is a... Oh, look, we see it as a terrible crime Bein Adam LeMakom or Bein Adam LeChaver.
Well, today. No, I'm saying in terms of the society today.
Okay. You're asking a different question, which is really not the time to answer. Now, what you're saying is, why does he just pay money for all these nice abstract philosophical ideas, and why don't we put him in jail like a terrible criminal and...
Give him Malchus or...
Okay.
Of
course he has to do tshuva, but the reason, the answer is that, why do we put him in jail nowadays? For the Bein Adam LeMakom. Nowadays, if people are really bad to other people, we put them in jail. So the answer is that the Torah doesn't have prison.
Why isn't it a lav?
Why? It is a lav. Of course it's a lav.
What's the lav?
It's the lav of Chovel Vachavero. Meaning Mamzeris, lav Mamzeris. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Kosher girl. It's the lav of Chovel Vachavero. It's the lav of hurting someone. Okay, that's a lav.
The lav of Mezikin?
What?
The lav of Mezikin?
No, it's the lav of Chovel.
There's no
malchus.
What? No, anytime I assault someone, I violate a law. That's unfortunately more they discuss Ula of Yochanan, the law of Ben Yosef.
Why is there malchus?
So there would be malchus, but the famous Ribs of Torah, Chovel Bachavero, it's a Xeus Akas of Kimlid Ramine. Since you pay money, you don't get malchus. So really, your question is, I know people have this question. People are very bothered by this. How come he just gets away with paying a few shekel here and there? So Chino says, not a few shekel here and there, it's pay for the damage. But why don't we really do something bad to him? Like put him in prison or give him malchus? So the answer is, has nothing to do with onus umafata. Because that's not only true about onus umafata. That's true about all Bein Adam LeChaveros. We never put anyone in prison. Why don't we ever, we only make people pay money and don't put them in prison. Why do we ever put anyone in prison? So the answer probably is, because on the one hand, it makes sense, put someone in prison, don't make them pay money, that'll be a worse punishment. On the other hand, if you look at America and you see that prisons are often, counterproductive. Sometimes you put someone in prison and they come out a bigger criminal. And then they're in a gang and they, or Vimikra HaTov, if they find God, they come out and become a terrorist. So you're asking a broader question in political philosophy. Why don't we put people in prison? And then you're asking a second question, why don't we give people malchus? So the answer to your second question is Kimlid Ravmine, which is the topic of half of our parak we'll get to. The answer to your first question is a deeper question of political philosophy, but even though our intuition is we should throw this guy into jail, or into prison rather, it's not so pashut because discuss with people who are into political philosophy and there's upsides and downsides, and the Torah never thinks that we put people into prison for doing any crime, neither Bein Adam LeChaver, Bein Adam LeMakom, and therefore, there's nothing unique about this. This is just part of our broader question in what kind of punishments the Torah believes in, and what kind of punishments modern-day society believe in. And you could probably argue ad infinitum, everything has chesronot, vietronot, but it's not so pashut that, putting rapists in jail is better in the end than not putting them in jail, because everything has chesronot, via tronot.
Not
necessarily
improving society, but I'm saying just in terms of tradition,
Yeah.
Like prevention of further crime.
Okay, so I'm not getting into this chakira now, why do we put people in jail? To keep them off the streets, or to teach them a lesson? It certainly doesn't work to teach them a lesson. It obviously works for a while to keep them off the streets, but that's also a double-edged sword, because you put someone in jail for 10 years, you keep them off the streets for 10 years, but they come out twice as big a criminal as they came in, and now in the next 10 years they make up for it.
There
so,
sorry. Guys continue their drug business while they're still in jail.
Yes, okay. Sorry, Ian, these are very, very good questions, but not for now. Now the hour is late, and I tried to finish at 10:15, but then everyone asked a lot of questions, and what can I do? It's not my fault. So we'll continue tomorrow.
up next time with, I have to email up the course, I didn't get a chance to write them up yet, but basically we are up to the discussion on Chafetz and Beis, which you already have a couple of the course about, but I want to go through, and especially tying what we said today, to Tosus, the Ramaskil,